Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny without Danny, taking you up to 6:30 on the Fan. Nats in Chicago, playing at Wrigley tonight. We'll get you your weather report coming up end of this segment. Charlie and Dave pregame, a little over an hour and a half away now. Abbreviated overtime between now and then. Here's your traffic. That's an industry term. We call that more of a TV than a radio term, but your traffic is what is coming up this segment. Your traffic here is, I got Ben Standing sitting down for a couple of minutes with me, who I just saw wandering around the hallway here, and I pulled him into the studio. So I want to talk to Ben Standing of The Athletic about what happened out in Ashburn today. Big news with a coaching change and a firing on the coaching staff. Then we're going to have Ryan explain it all because it's been too long since Ryan has explained it all. Then it's Top 5 Tuesday, and I will close down this sucker with my top 5 favorite Hard Knocks moments ever. It's my favorite show. It is back and better than ever tonight with the Detroit Lions. And so I will properly get everyone into the Hard Knocks mindset on Top 5 Tuesday with my top 5 scenes from Hard Knocks off the top of my head ever. We will do that coming up all in this segment. It's going to be jam-packed, as the great Marv Levy once said. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Benjamin Standig, thank you for joining us.
Hey, I appreciate you getting me out of the hall. I was just walking around aimlessly.
Just wandering. I mean, I was like, hey, you're Ben Standig from The Athletic. What are you doing here? So I appreciate you sitting down. It is not every day in training camp when you go out to practice that something overly interesting happens. In fact, it's been a really quiet camp. But I think you're one of the few beat reporters in history who has ever covered a camp practice that ended with a press conference when a coach got fired. That doesn't happen in August.
It does not. Like, we were given a little heads up, hey, because you have to make a decision as a reporter when practice ends. You either go in for the press conference or you try to get players walking off the field. So at this point in camp, we don't always need Ron Rivera every day. You make a call. But we got a little heads up. You kind of maybe want to be there today. Okay. I don't know. Who knows? As a reminder, twice already he's announced players are retired in a press conference. Right. So we don't know what's going to happen.
Who's the third guy retiring?
Right.
That's what you're thinking.
Anything's possible. And then he says that they fired Sam Mills. And like you said, it's so bizarre that this happened in camp. It's not surprising that it happened. There's been rumblings about potentially moving on from Sam Mills for a while, or at least at some of the players at a minimum were like, this, we don't really are jiving with his coaching, what have you. But once you get here, it's mid-August. The first preseason game is, what, 4 or 5 days away?
4 days.
Like, this is not the time to make a significant change. This is the time to, you know, get on your P's and Q's, button up what you're doing, work on technique, move forward. Not we're gonna have a little detour here and go and do something else. That is bizarre.
What did Rivera say about the timing? Why now?
He said that it was about a philosophical difference and it was based on what happened in the offseason program and what happened here in training camp. So not about last year's performance. Obviously, the defense underwhelmed, and that defensive line did not live up to expectations collectively. But it wasn't that, he said. He said it was based on what they've seen so far. The best I can tell is that there has been this difference in opinion on certain aspects of the coaching. I don't know what exactly, but they've tried to give him as much runway
but
as possible.
He knows Sam Mills better than anybody.
Sam Mills was with him in Carolina. The whole time in Carolina, and then here since he got here in 2020. So it's 11 years.
So did they just start differing in philosophy?
Well, I guess my thinking is it's probably not Rivera that has the difference in philosophy. The question is, I don't know beyond that. I don't know if it's something, a Del Rio thing. There have, as I said, we've heard about certain players that maybe have had some issues. Ron Rivera said this was, he was not consulting with players on this. If you take that at his word, then it wasn't that forcing the hand. It is bizarre. And like he said, the offseason program and training camp, the offseason program was 2 months ago. Why didn't you at least at that point say, hey, we think we need to make a change, so at least you then could come into training camp, perhaps with another coach, or just get a clean start and kind of move on? To do it 2 weeks in is very curious.
Ben Standing of The Athletic. I am cognizant of the fact that I am skeptical of this regime largely, but I don't want to be the guy that just hates everything to hate it, or, you know, is always kind of coming down on them. But I just can't help, even in this situation, like, I think this was the right decision. Based on what I have heard about how the players and this coach got along over the last couple of years, I think this actually makes a lot of sense. Here I am, though, not able to quite commend you, because the time to have done this was 4 months ago, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, hell, 1 month ago after OTAs, for all I care. I always feel like they're just reacting on a whim. I can't say this in a better way, so I'm a beaten... It's kind of... I've said this a lot. It's a... To me, it just feels like there is no master plan. It's just always like, oh, there's something. Oh, there's another thing that's in the... Oh, there's a lamp in the room. I just wish there was more of a... We're talking about what's a mile and a half in front of us down the road, not what's running into the windshield right now.
I agree. It feels that way from the outside. We obviously don't know everything. They don't share with all their hopes and dreams with us at all times, but it does constantly feel that way, that it is a reaction. Like, you know, go back to the Carson Wentz situation. We can make an argument that it was a positive move to get a guy who's been a viable starting quarterback in this league, but it came having just struck out with Russell Wilson, knowing you're not getting Aaron Rodgers, seeing ahead that the draft is going to stink, and you just make this move. And it's not that they made the move. It's just they paid full sticker price when it kind of felt like, well, wait, why don't you maybe play this out? What are your other options? Do you really have to get this guy? The Colts, it feels like they may just cut the guy, possibly, or do something. But it's like, we got to react. We got to do this. And then they went and make that move, which I think makes it hard to fully embrace that. And that's sort of, I think, your point here is like, okay, I get it. Makes sense. But wait, why did you do it this way instead of just we made this decision at some point and move on?
I feel like he sent the RSVP that he wasn't going to the wedding back, and the wedding was last weekend. Like, I give you credit, I guess, that you're not the guy that never responds, but the time to respond was previously. So I don't know quite what to do with that. There is some good news for people driving home or at the house getting ready for dinner tonight at home. And that was that we had a bang-up, strong Carson Wentz practice. Now, I hate where this is trending, by the way, because this is now the every day is a referendum. I already think we over-evaluate quarterbacks in the league as it is, and I get it. We have more information and video now. Like, every throw, a guy's terrible or he's good. It just wasn't that way. All of our heroes, you know, you're older than I am, but the guys that you loved growing up, we didn't evaluate every throw. Joe Montana had ducks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now we're doing this practice-by-practice bit with Carson Wentz that I think is largely... not something that we should be doing, but he apparently was really good today. And if we're going to worry about all the inaccuracies, I guess we need to give him his flowers today.
You know, it's funny. There's a lot of issues with Twitter. This is a different one. And this issue is I try not to tweet out too much play-by-play for this exact reason. Because if I tweet out anything, he throws a great pass, he throws an interception, that becomes the referendum for the day. That becomes what the feel is. And then if everybody else on the beat, we all see the same significant plays, we all do that. Now it becomes a bit of an echo chamber. Now you guys here on the radio or elsewhere see these things, and then you're reacting to that. Now all of a sudden, Carson Wentz's day went this way or that way, depending on what a few people are tweeting.
But can I say on your behalf really quickly, and this is something that is a pet peeve of mine, I'd say, because I was a beat reporter and I was out there. Your job is to break down what's happening. To me, this is not a knock on you guys. Like, whether he had a good or bad practice and you disseminating that information, and frankly, you tracking every completion and incompletion and if he's high and outside or if he's on target, like, that's the gig. That's the whole point. He's right. The most important story. He's the most important player in this organization, and that bubble is your world. You guys are doing exactly what you should be doing. My point, though, is, and I guess I am guilty of this, I suppose, sitting in this seat, but on the outside, the idea that with if he's inaccurate for three straight days in August, that that's now a thing. Like, to me, I didn't talk about it until Ron Rivera started getting asked about it. Because to me, that's now different. If people are actually asking the coach about his inaccuracies, and his answer, I think, that I saw that I didn't love was he's not overly concerned.
I asked him about that on Saturday after the practice, and he said that basically we're not seeing everything. We don't know, which is
true.
We don't know if did the receiver run the route 8 yards when it should have been nine. Did he's playing with the third string guard because they've had injuries. Did that offset something or are they just trying something? You know,
right.
We don't know exactly what's happening. That is fair. But you're right. I mean, it felt like it needed to be asked. He was off in that practice on Saturday and has been off a lot in a lot of these things.
Now, you could say that I am paying way too much attention to detail. But when he said, I'm not overly concerned, I would have preferred I'm not concerned. I mean, overly concerned by definition means there is some concern.
Right.
Now, maybe that is, again, me digging deeper than I need to.
I know. I think it's fair. He also said when I brought up the point of him being inaccurate, he did say there have been some inaccuracies. Well, like you're to your point, it's not like every quarterback completes every pass.
Yeah.
They're going to miss some, but to the degree that he's been missing them, it's not just the ones in 11 on 11s. I'm just talking about quarterback, Terry McLaurin's running out for a pass. There's no defense. It's literally the air.
Right.
And the ball is not where you think it should be. And sometimes it's not where it should be by a significant amount. That's the part where you're like, whoa, what's going on here? And then it keeps happening and happening. But that's what made today something that needed to be noted. And perhaps we all went, not overboard, but we're all like, hey, Carson Wentz had some really good throws down the field today. He's got the big arm. He was accurate. Let's give him his due because it was a good day.
Yeah, it sounds like that's awesome. He needed today probably, and it's practice. It's going to be up and it's going to be down. I guess my point is, I think everyone out there is doing what they should be doing. They're just doing their jobs correctly. I'd love to be at a place industrially where we're not, like, let's say he had a terrible week of practices. Your job is to say he had a terrible week of practice. But I think the perception then is that you're saying this guy stinks, which is not what you're saying. You're saying that he had a terrible week of practice. But it turns into this now referendum that Carson Wentz stinks or they shouldn't have traded for him. And that's where we are in the media now, I think in sports in general, but certainly bigger picture. I know that I felt that way sometimes when I would just be, I'm talking about a play. You know what I mean? I'm saying that this guy got beat for a sack badly. It doesn't mean that I think that guy's a bad player, but right. Someone uses that as their evidence now that he can't sneeze without someone critiquing how he sneezes either. There are just certain guys that are punchlines. He, unfortunately for him, is one of those guys where he could dive in front of a moving 18-wheeler to save a box of kittens, and someone will be mad that he put the guy driving the truck's life at risk. You know, there are certain guys like that in sports. He's just one of those guys.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? If they had gotten Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson had thrown every single pass that Carson Wentz had thrown, everybody would still be giddy that you have Russell Wilson. It would be like, whatever, this is just training camp, it doesn't matter. But because Carson Wentz came in having, as we know, been on two other, you know, this is his third team in 3 years, people have questions. So when we then are saying he's missing these throws, it just, oh boy, this is what we're getting. Here we go. And it kind of goes and goes.
You have such a tan, by the way. I mean, this is the most color I've ever seen you get.
Somebody else made that comment today. I mean, I wear suntan lotion.
You don't?
I do. Well, I wear a hat. I guess I don't really put a ton on my face. I do more out here, but like, look, you can see the gap here in my
that's tough.
In my arm. But look, man,
you haven't been at the pool very much this summer.
No. The sun has been brutal. The last couple of days have been absolutely miserable. So it is what it is. I'm rooting for a light humidity day tomorrow. Do we have weather? Do we know what's going on? Does Craig Heist have weather for us?
Ryan actually is our show meteorologist.
Oh yeah.
Now the only issue with him as a meteorologist is that he's wrong about 90% of the time.
Okay.
But with that having been said, Ryan, what's it going to be like in Ashburn tomorrow? For my guy, Ben Standing. And when I say 90% of the time, I mean more like 94%.
Sure. But you're being nice to him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty accurate in this thing. At least that's what I like to think. So, but I don't know. I guess that's up for the listeners.
How confident are you? He said, I don't know, four times.
I don't know.
Yeah,
he's
just questioning himself over times. And over.
Yeah, I'm gonna check Doug Cameron tonight just in case.
Right.
All right.
You might as well. What does he got tomorrow in Ashburn?
high of 88 degrees, lower humidity with some potential thunderstorms later in the day to cool you down, Ben. So well, I think it'll be a nice day in Ashburn.
What time are the thunderstorms coming?
My calculations say around 4:30. Some will say
it doesn't help him.
I'll be in Bethesda. I'll be back home by then.
So that's awesome. Gone. That's awesome. Then it'll be fine. You'll be great. It'll be a little toasty, but not as toasty as today.
Let's hope this is one of that 6% of the time he's accurate, because I think I speak for all of us. We do not need. Today was like a five bottle. It was literally a five water bottle, three shirt day for me. We don't need that again.
I used to. Yeah, you count the heat by the water bottle. You were running to and from the bathroom constantly. Ben, thank you. Good information. And you've been crushing it at camp. Keep it up.
Grant, lovely to see you.
You as well, my friend. All right, let's fire up the music. Let's do it for real. Let's get a Ryan Explains It All. We are way overdue for this. Many, many days in the making. Let's do this thing. All right, Ryan, you've heard the commercials, I'm sure, that you're not allowed to just dig big holes in the ground, right? Like, before you dig, you have to call a number. Do you know about this?
No, I don't. Is this like for private property or public property?
You own a home, you want to dig on your land, but you have to call. I think it's like 811 or something. But before you dig, you have to call to make sure that you're not hitting things in the ground, right?
Sure.
All right, I want you to explain, when they come out to your house, how do they know where everything underground, the pipes and all the things that you're not supposed to dig and hit? I want you to tell me how exactly they figure that out.
Well, here's the thing. So if you're trying to look for like a plumbing pipe, there's got to be metal around that plumbing pipe or something like that. And so they get this thing called a metal detector. And so they wave around your yard, and they're going to be trying to hit those pipes, those big metal pipes. And they're going to hear like a little beep, beep, beep. And then as you get closer, it's a little beep, 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 beep. And then once they get that, that's when you know there's a little metal pipe down there in the ground. And that's how they figure out where the pipes are. And then they start digging.
So like old guys out on the beach.
Exactly.
Looking for something below the sand.
Yeah, it's kind of something like that. It's like a little
old game.
But
what if it's not pipes? What if it's just cabling? What if it's just wires? I mean, you could cut those. That's a big problem. How are they going to decipher that?
That's a good question. That's a great question. I never knew that there's wires underground. I mean, that's something I just learned. Like, what type of wires? Like, are we talking, like, plastic cables, like, with no metal around them?
There are many types of any kind of coils or
made of, like, copper?
Power lines. Yeah, there's all kinds of things.
That's a great question. But here's what I would say to that. Here's my counter. I think they just have the blueprint from the home to where everything's been coming through, like, when the construction site, whatever the heck that they did to create that home. They have all this written down, public information for someone who needs to know this stuff.
Oh, attaboy, okay.
Maybe it's like stashed away in some other room in the construction site. I don't know. Who knows?
Stashed away in some other room.
So I don't know. Who knows? And then that's where they find it. And like, hey, we have like this big old wire coming right down here in the middle of the kitchen, underground there, about 5 feet. So don't dig down there.
No, but you're not digging in your kitchen. This is in your yard.
Okay, in the yard. It runs right down.
You think you're digging under your floor?
We've had to do it before in our house.
But this is generally more you're digging in the yard. Digging in the neighborhood.
All right, I mean, same thing, though. Because it's going to be a straight line from wherever that cable or plumbing metal tube needs to go.
I think people should call you before they dig.
They probably should.
Sounds like you have a plan. Before you dig, call Ryan Clary. Facebook message him and ask if he needs some help. There you go. Ryan explains it all on Grant and Danny. Danny will be sad that he missed that. All right, let's go Top 5 Tuesday. Before we get out of here, I got some of my favorite Hard Knocks memories. Remember, Hard Knocks debuts on HBO tonight. It's Top 5 Tuesday. So there are some classics here. Among them, remember when Carl Nassib of the Cleveland Browns played financial advisor, went up to the whiteboard, the dry erase board, and taught a bunch of the players on the team about how they can invest their money and make a bunch of money? That was great. There was John Gruden, knock on wood if you're with me. All kinds of memories over the years on Hard Knocks, players getting released, emotional conversations with coaches. But I have put together what I think are my top five Hard Knocks memories, and we can go through them here. 5-1, Darris, is how we can do this, okay? So I want to go through some of my favorite Hard Knocks moments on this, the night where the Detroit Lions take center stage on Hard Knocks. So we'll have to get in and out of these. I'll pull out of some of the audio clips as we go. But number five for me was Joe Philbin releasing Chad Johnson after his arrest. And that was actually a really, really emotional moment. And one of my favorite things about Hard Knocks is the access we get to these coach-player meetings. Sometimes guys getting cut or after someone loses a loved one, and you see how real these relationships are, how authentic the coach-player rapport can be. That was one that stands out to me. Number four Hard Knock moment for me, how about the Browns coaches meeting where Hugh Jackson, who was just on his way to being blown out, gets into an argument with some of his assistants and reminds them who the head coach was. I thought this was incredible, and you knew the Browns staff was dysfunctional after they allowed this video to make it out on Hard Knocks when they were the team being featured.
We're not taking guys out because they're special or anything like that. We're taking them out for preventative measures.
Yeah.
And normally the team has understood that.
Yeah, well, I understand there's a rhyme and reason for
right.
doing it.
It's been Duke has had a history of pulling, and if we end up losing him or missing him, it doesn't help us. Guys, this is all for preventative measures. Nobody's trying to take anybody out and have a problem.
I have an opinion on it, mm-hmm. and we need to get so much done. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know I said that to you and we joke about it, but if we live in our fears, I mean, our team has to get mentally tougher and be able to fight through the that we got to fight through. We got to change this drastically. And if we got guys that haven't done sitting around doing nothing, you know, I just don't know how we're going to do it.
Well, I respect you saying that. I mean, I used to sit in the same chair.
Joe,
let me finish. Let me finish. I used to sit in the same chair as you guys sat in, and I used to feel the same way. I just want to kill them, okay? Until all of a sudden, I sat in this chair, and then they're not there. And you don't get them to practice. And you can't get them through, and then you don't have them for 3 weeks. And I'm not living in my fears. That's real. And I think we all can appreciate that. Anything else?
That was Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. Just an incredible exchange between coordinator and head coach. We got to be a fly on the wall. Hard Knocks gives you that. Number three, we don't have it because there's too much cursing and it would have taken a lot of bleeping. But Jarvis Landry's unbelievable speech when he got to Cleveland trying to change the culture about how much football needed to matter to the other receivers in the room and how they were going to turn a corner. One of the great Hard Knocks moments ever. My number two Hard Knocks moment, top of my head, the Ravens rookie skits when the two rookies did the impressions of Ray Lewis and Shannon Sharp. This is all the way back almost to 2000, like 20 years ago, one of the earliest Hard Knocks series ever. Not long after the Ravens had won the Super Bowl, the rookies acting like two of the popular veterans on the team.
That's great! Hey, shook up! Oh, there you are, you have my head down.
I know the Baltimore Ravens have been hit with a lot of injuries, though.
Yes, we have.
I seen that special HBO, School of Hard Knocks, when Sarah Gusser had locked the tight ends in the room.
You humiliated me, dude, on national television, so I want restitution.
What? Well, yeah, I knew that Goose had...
It's incredible. I mean, Danny's got a good sharp. That one gives it a run for its money. Just a really, really good impression. And again, Hard Knocks lets you see some of these really fun, awesome things that happen during camp behind the scenes that bonds the team together. And it gives you the ability to see these players as the people they are beyond football. You know, you really get to know some of their personalities, quirks at times, but you get to see that they're the well-rounded, humorous, funny. They're personable and big personalities on some of these teams, which I love. And then lastly, you got Rex Ryan. All-time great series because he was the superstar. He was angry. He was foul. He was hilarious. The New York Jets season, probably the best season on Hard Knocks. And because that everyone said every year since has been a disappointment, you're just not going to get the Rex vibes back from when he was screaming at his team to eat a snack.
Now, there's a difference between having fun and being a jackass. Our defense was a jackass when we went to Hofstra, eating a bunch of cheeseburgers before we go stretch and all that. That's being a jackass. You can be a world champion, but not like this. We won't win it. We'll sit back and say, why didn't we do it? We didn't do it because where were our priorities? How about our offense? When are we going to put it together? When are we going to put it together? Can we not run the ball down their throats every snap? Can we not throw it anytime we want to throw it? Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets and not some slack team. That's what I want to see tomorrow. Do we understand what the I want to see tomorrow? Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Let's go eat a GD snack. With that, let's go eat some dinner, shall we? That'll do it for this installment of Grant and Danny. Nats Game Day Weather brought to you by Pepco. Storm season is here. We know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. Tonight in Chicago, 62 degrees. Looks like there's an 8% chance of any kind of precipitation. 10-mile-per-hour winds. Should be a nice night for baseball. It's Paolo season, baby. Last night we got Anibal. Tonight we get Paolo Espino. We are lucky ducks, aren't we? For Darris and Ryan, Grant Paulson saying so long. Overtime with Scott Jackson comes your way next. Charlie and Dave, a little over an hour from now. And then the game right here on The Fan. I'm back at it tomorrow after the Nats matinee getaway day tilt at Wrigley Field.
Thank you for coming.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.